is coming, between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
They want to take my guns away.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here, who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us. The protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia? Cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane ramp on Saturday, right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answered what I'd done. Hooked the day, but forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
It's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are
you know, I keep threatening to change that intro because it's not 2 hours. It's 1 hour of the shooting bench, but I'll get around to it one of these days. Welcome. We have an unexpected edition of the shooting bench tonight. I had some things I wanted to cover, and I didn't want to wait till Monday, so I decided to throw an extra hour in here, and then we'll do Liberty Lounge immediately following this. We're back on our regular schedule. So I know it was short notice, but the podcast will be available tonight. I will make sure that gets done before I go to bed tonight, so if you missed it, it'll be there for you. The podcast, I guess I better go over here and check the chat room and see, make sure the sound is good here. Let's see here. Let's see a show of hands of who can hear there. While I'm waiting for that, I know it's being recorded, so the recorder can hear whether anybody else can or not. But Pumpkin Cat said it's good. Okay, we'll continue to march then. So, there was a lot of gun-related stuff, just some things I just didn't want to wait on, so we'll get on with that. One thing I want to share with everybody here, we have a, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've got a rifle class coming up on the 5th of October, 3rd, 4th, and 5th of October, but it is a semi-private class that's not open to the public, so it's got everybody in it it's going to get. There's a multi-state concealed weapons class coming up on the 5th. No, yes, on the 5th of October. There's a reason for that, and it's kind of irrelevant if you're not going to it, but there's a reason why we're having that CCW class in the midst of this rifle class. So I'll tell you about that after it's all over with. So smoky out there today. We've got a fire going not too far from here. And it's cotton-picking smoky. It gets in the house, and everything smells like you've been camping out. You know, it's pretty heavy out there right now. The wind changed. We've got kind of a low-pressure system, and it's holding it in here. Elk are bugling out there. It was been cool in the mornings. It sure smells like hunting season out there. If it wasn't for the smoke, anyway. But other than that, well, smoke smells like hunting season, too. It smells like a campfire out there. Everywhere. Thank you, Nan. Glad you made it in here, by the way. Let's see. See what we got in the chat room. Not sure about the podcast and stuff here, but we have Minnie and Nan and Bunk and Cat. Some Anonymous popped in there. All right. Well, the first thing we want to share, kind of a sad deal. One of them, some of you might remember David Bald Eagle. He was a Lakota chief. He played in, he's a musician. He played in several movies as a cowboy and actor. You would remember him if you saw him. He was in Dances with Wolves and several others. Anyway, he died, I believe, yesterday at the age of 97. No. Take that back. That is an old story. He's been dead. Cancel that. That came in on a news feed, and I apologize for that. Usually look a little closer. Let's see here. This one is new. Eddie Money died yesterday at the age of 70 years old. Even if you don't like rock music, you ought to know who Eddie Money is. He sang Baby Hold On and Two Tickets to Paradise and what's another one? Take Me Home Tonight. Several really, really good songs. And I guess he'd been struggling with esophageal cancer for a while, stage 4, and it took him, I guess, yesterday. So, Eddie Money. And one more. I hate to start out with bad news here, but anyway, I think it bears, recognizing these people. The oldest living American World War II veteran celebrates his 110th birthday. This is a brand new story as of today. Yeah, this year marked and we talked about it, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And this guy, Lawrence Brooks, born on September 12th, 1909. And I guess he's quite a character. He says he credits his good health with long walks and chewing gum, a habit he used to replace cigarettes. Anyway, quite a story behind him. He was a neat guy. He's 110 and apparently still alive and doing well. So we'll see next year this time. He'll still be the oldest World War II veteran and be 111. We'll hope he makes it. All right. Now, there's a lot of things going on with guns, different laws and problems we've got coming up, but before we get into that, into the bad things, let's talk about some of the other things. I talked about Smith & Wesson bringing back the, forgot what the number was here a while back. It was a 357 Magnum revolver, I believe it was. Talked about that maybe a month ago. I don't think we talked about the Model 648 coming back. The 648 is if I did, we're going to talk about it again. The 648 is a 22 Magnum revolver. It's stainless steel, full underbarrel lug, and it was they retired it in 2005, and it's got a 6-inch barrel. If they come out with a 4-inch barrel, I will think very, very seriously about grabbing one of those things. I'm big, big fan of the 22 Magnum. I won't go into that again. We've talked about it numerous times, and I probably already talked to it about this, but anyway, the MSRP for this gun is $749. I'd like to see them come out with a blue 4-inch version. Probably knock about $100, $150 off the price. And I'd rather have a blued one anyway. So, there it is. For those of you that have been around for listening to the Shooting Bench from back in the early days when they were doing it out of KENN Radio in Farmington, New Mexico, one of the guns that we sold, we sold Glocks hard. I mean, we were the number one Glock dealer in Farmington, New Mexico for a while and sold a lot of Glocks, did a lot of grip reductions, a lot of modifications of various kinds on them and did really, really well with Glocks. But another one that I couldn't help but like and I liked it a lot. I wish I still had one. Actually, I did, and I gave it to my daughter. But is the Bursa Thunder 380. It's not quite as, I'm not a real big fan of the 380 to start with, but with modern day, you know, modern technology and this technology going into ammunition that has and the metallurgy going into these bullets and stuff, they've changed quite a bit. The 380 is definitely worth having. Not a real big fan of the tiny bitty little, the Taurus 738, the Ruger, what is that little Ruger, little bitty 380. The biggest reason I'm not a fan, the Kel-Tec 3AT is another one, sorry Nan. But the biggest reason I don't like them is they're a little bit small for my big hand. Of course, if you got smaller hands, that may be a benefit for you. But the other thing is the sights are so crude on those guns that they are, given some time and good lighting, yes, they'll shoot pretty well at longer distances. But if you have to pop off a headshot in a second and a half from concealment, those guns are a little tough. It's not that they don't shoot well, it's just that they're hard for you to shoot well with them. So I like something with a little better sights, and the Bursa Thunder had decent sights, decent trigger, smaller than a Glock 19, thinner than a Glock 19. Let's see, 10, I believe they were 10 round magazines, and shot really well. If you go to my YouTube channel, go to Desert Scout 1 on YouTube. There's a couple of videos on there where we used the Bursa Thunder for some accuracy testing. And they shoot exceedingly well for a little gun like that. 100% reliable. We never had we shot them a lot. We had one in our rental fleet, one or two in our rental fleet for the gun classes that we did. And you need to understand that I put 22 people through these classes every week for 7 years. And we use these 380s a lot. And I don't recall ever having a single stoppage with the Bursa Thunder 380. It's not a Glock, but it has the same reputation for reliability that the Glock does. So what brought all this up was they have come out now with a threaded barrel on the Bursa Thunder. And they've sold well over a million of them, or not the threaded ones, but I mean just Bursas in general. They've sold well over a million, and no longer than they've been in. So that's pretty good, pretty reliable, considering they're up against some of the heavy hitters. If you're familiar with the Walther PPKS, the Bursa Thunder is virtually identical in handling and looks and dimensions as the Walther. But they've come out with this threaded barrel on one now. It adds a little bit of length. The barrel sticks out 3/4 of an inch or so. But it allows you to put on either a flash suppressor or a sound suppressor, a silencer, if you will. And just adds to the versatility of this great little gun. And they're very inexpensive. They're, I don't even know if they have. They were like, $229 or something like that when we were selling them, $249 maybe. I don't remember if they compared to some of the other big names. You know, that's a reasonable price. You know, Glocks were middle of the road price, but we still sold those for $549. Sold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Glocks, and so this one was the next and the only one, other than some revolvers, that I recommended immediately following the Glock. So. There you have it. If you're looking to get a good little carry gun, that is the cat's meow right there. Let's see. Yeah, Nan saying it took her a while to hit anything with that 380. It's hard. You know, the problem with all three of those, and several others, you know, a whole lot of others, they're not, for most people, they're not real natural pointers. You have to adjust the grip just a little bit, or the aim, the stance, you know, whatever, to get it pointed exactly how you want it to go. Now, that's not true with the Bursa. The Bursa is a pretty natural pointer. You just throw the gun up and shoot. And that's the problem with these little guns. With most people, you can take a gun that fits your hand really well, that honestly becomes an extension of your body, and just literally throw it up in the dark and pull the trigger, and at moderate distances, you will hit your target. That may not be so with some of the other guns that don't fit your hand as well. So that was another big reason that I liked the Bursa. On these, Bursa's an imported gun. It comes out of, I don't know, I think Brazil or somewhere. So I was, you know, I was a little disappointed with that. But, you know, you can't argue with the success of the gun itself. But the one reason that I liked the Taurus 738 over the Ruger that was identically, it's the same size, capacity, and everything. The little Taurus, both the sights were very crude on them. A little notch in the back, a little microscopic notch that you had to, you know, you just feel with your fingernail, and a, you know, a 16th of an inch of front sight on it. And those two things together, there's no definition, there's no contrast at all. Really difficult to use those really accurately. So, when you're dealing with sights that tiny, the tiny bit of difference in the 738 and the Ruger, was noticeable. The 738 was a tiny bit easier to shoot. That's the backup gun that Amy carries. We still have one of those. And it shoots well. I mean, if you've got the time and the lighting's good, it shoots very well. It's not a sloppy gun to shoot. It just takes a little bit longer to get everything lined up properly on it. But if you get used to it and shoot it enough, you know, where you can shoot it, what would you want to call it, reflexively, then it'll do a good job for you. The same with the 380. The thing I don't like about the 380 is I just don't like Kel-Tec. They're pretty cheap guns. And we have had, you know, numerous problems with Kel-Tecs. So let me move back over to my other screen here, and let's see what else we got going on. I'm not going to go to a break just yet because we started just a few minutes late, so I'm going to go ahead and keep on here for just a minute, but I've got to find my other screen. There it is. All right. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 7 minutes of your time. Some of you may have heard this before, but this is, beyond a doubt, the best Second Amendment speech, the best rebuttal against the red flag laws and the liberals that continue to push that stuff on. This is an amazing speech. So I'm going to go ahead and do this. Now, it'll take me just a second to switch over to our other format. So stay with me. You'll experience just a couple seconds of dead air. And immediately after that, we will go into our break and then come back with some other gun-related stuff. So stay with me.
So over the last several days, Mr. Speaker, there's been a lot of discussion about an open and honest debate with respect to school shootings, gun violence, gun control, etc. And an open and honest debate, as I understand it, is one that would rely on data, facts, evidence, analysis, reason, logic, etc., etc. And I'm certainly willing to have that debate. I think if we were going to look seriously at school shootings and gun control, we would analyze things like, why do all mass shootings seem to take place in gun-free zones? Wouldn't it be reasonable to test whether or not the efficacy of gun-free zones have actually achieved what their intended intent is? we would start to look at most of these shooters come from broken homes. What sort of government policies have actually encouraged broken homes? You can look at left-leaning think tanks like the Brookings Institute that will actually say that some of it can be attributed to various cultural changes that happened in the 60s to include the abortion industry. You can look at a more conservative-leaning organizations that will say that the welfare state contributed significantly to dismantling the family as families became more and more dependent upon the government than they were mothers and fathers in the home raising children. We could look at various status with those areas within the United States and around the world that have strict gun control measures and what their crime rates look like, whether it's Chicago, New York City, Washington, D.C., and others that have incredibly strict gun laws, and yet for some reason it hasn't seemed to stop the gun violence in those particular areas. We can look at the analysis out of 538, which is considered more of a left-of-center data analysis think tank, where you had several analysts now confirm through the data that they were looking at, not just in the United States, but in Canada, Great Britain, and Australia, that they were shocked that the data did not support what they thought gun control measures would actually achieve. We can look at the number of cases within the United States where a gun has been used for self-defense. Estimates range everywhere from 100,000 uses to over close to a million uses within the United States. Now, some organizations and some reporters only want to report on the ones where a gun was used and it actually resulted in the death or maiming of the perpetrator. But if you look at the ones where the gun was used and the mere presence of the firearm actually dissuaded a criminal from committing an act of violence, an act of rape, an act of murder, the number shoots up. It skyrockets. So when people on this side talk about the importance of the Second Amendment, please understand it's not just some base philosophical conviction that we all have. It is rooted in the idea that while we may be a post-Enlightenment society, the vast majority of horrible atrocities that we've seen have happened in those post-Enlightenment societies. Has happened as a result of government systematically disarming citizens and claiming themselves to be the sole responsible party for their security, and then turning on those same citizens and punishing them. That's the most egregious cases. But in the individual cases of self-defense, that's why the people on this side of the aisle hold the Second Amendment in such high esteem, because we honestly believe that you have an inherent right to defend yourself. And your ability to defend yourself should not be excluded to your size. Firearms provide someone that is weaker and not as fast the ability to actually defend themselves from a stronger attacker. Some of the other things that we would look at, and some of the things I would hope we would have bipartisan support for, all of us agree that we need to make sure that our students are better protected when they go to schools. One of the things that we would look at is arming certain teachers. Not every teacher, but a teacher that is comfortable with it, is former law enforcement, is former military, that is now in the classroom. Delegate Plum said yesterday that was ridiculous to consider. Why? Is it because the other side of this debate will only accept one quote-unquote solution to this problem, and that is tearing apart or gutting the Second Amendment? And I understand, we're going to mention just a couple of the bills that were done this year, right? Background checks, getting rid of bump stocks. If you're wondering the other reason why we can't have an honest debate over this one, is because, quite frankly, I don't think any of us on this side of the aisle believe you when you say that's all you want to do. It'll be bump stocks, it'll be background checks, then it'll be different kind of background checks that register the guns. Then after that, it'll be we need to ban assault weapons. What's an assault weapon? Something that looks scary. Then after that, it'll be semi-automatic rifles. After that, it'll be semi-automatic handguns. Then it'll be revolvers, shotguns. Because when the policies fail to produce the results you are promising to your constituents, you'll be back with more reasons on why we've got to infringe on Second Amendment rights. The other reason why it's really difficult to have an honest and open debate about this is because of this, members of this body comparing members on this side of the aisle to Nazis. Members on the other side of the aisle saying that when a 24-year-old teacher gets up and says that the whole debate is between the Second Amendment or her life, that's a false dilemma. And quite frankly, one of the ones that I found the most offensive, along with being compared to Nazis, was being compared to segregationists. I just want to remind everyone very quickly. It was not our party that supported slavery, that fought women's suffrage, that rounded up tens of thousands of Asian Americans and put them in concentration camps, that supported Jim Crow, that supported segregation, or supported mass resistance. That wasn't our party. That was the Democrat Party. Now, I'm thrilled the Democrats no longer believe that, and I don't believe that a single current member of this body who is a Democrat ever believe those things. But I would really appreciate it if every time you want to make a powerful point, you don't project the sins, the atrocities, and the injustices that the Democratic Party perpetrated on others onto us. So if we want to have an open and honest debate, I am all for that. Let's do that. But it does start with a certain degree of mutual respect. It starts with a certain degree of not assuming that the only reason why we believe in the Second Amendment is because the NRA paid us off. Well, if that's the sort of logic you want to use, why don't you go take a look at how much money the NRA spends and how much money Planned Parenthood spends? Because when I get up here and I talk about abortion, I don't assume that you're all bought and paid for by Planned Parenthood. I don't assume you're horrible people because I disagree with you on a policy position. I assume you have deep convictions and that we can have an argument and a debate about it. But if you're not willing to reciprocate that level of respect, well, don't be surprised when it becomes more difficult to talk about these things. Because there is a lot that we can do, and there is a lot that we need to do to ensure the security of our children and our citizens. But yes, we are going to have a problem with so-called solutions which infringe on people's liberty under the promise the government will provide for their security. Because ultimately, in this last school shooting, we had a perfect example of government being engaged over 30 times and still failing to provide security for those students. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I'll be back.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of a Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a mini shell over the top of an old bird dog, and it backed a burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun. It's just a double barrel 12. The stock is cracked and it kicks like hell. It wouldn't mean what it means to me to no one. I can hear his voice when I put it to my shoulder. Guns like a woman, son, it's all how you hold her. He taught me a whole lot more than how to hunt. And one of these days I'll pass it on to my son, Granddaddy's gun. He handed it to me on the day I turned 13, with a half-shot box of shells and a kit to keep it clean. I keep a picture in the case of that sweet old man and me with Granddaddy's gun. It's just a double barrel 12. The stock is cracked and it kicks like hell. It wouldn't mean what means to me to no one. I can hear his voice when I put it to my shoulder. A gun's like a woman, son, it's all how you hold her. He taught me a whole lot more than how to hunt. And one of these days I'll pass it on to my son, Granddaddy's gun. Granddaddy's gun.
a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I gotta get me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay, I'll find a way. They ain't gonna take me down no way. Yeah.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's going to wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue.
It can't take me.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associating them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are. Okay.
Can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back, and I want to apologize to you. Of course, you won't find out I'm apologizing until you listen to the podcast, but this was kind of short notice that I put this out that I was going to do a three-hour show tonight, so... But I thought it was important, so you can always catch the podcast later. So, there's several things here. This one right here, you guys probably saw this on Facebook, or let's see. Wait a minute. We want to get rid of that. There are about 150 companies now that are demanding. How dare you? Just because you're a big company, that you demand anything of our Senate. But they've got, they're demanding red flag confiscation laws in letters to the Senate. And you know a lot of these companies, obviously. That was, I'm not sure if Walmart has joined them yet, but let's see, there's a list here. If I can find it, well, maybe there's not. But anyway, it was Uber and Twitter and a whole bunch of big, popular, well-known names that are demanding this. So, and I still think I'm confident that the average American does not understand how dangerous these red flag laws could be. You could have somebody have their guns taken away. Now, all states are not the same. We do not yet have a uniform, consistent red flag law. But in a lot of states, it can just be as a prank. It can be because you were mad, if somebody was mad at you in fifth grade, and they finally found a way to get back at you. You can be an ex-girlfriend. You know, we've talked about this before. But it's getting closer to a reality than it was, you know, 3 weeks ago when we did, 2 weeks ago when we talked about it last time. And the thing is that this, depending on where it's at, will go on your permanent record. this isn't just a slap on the wrist and then you forget about it, you know, Monday morning when you get out of jail, get out of the drunk tank or something. It's much, much worse than that. As a matter of fact, you guys may not know this, but as of today, a red flag confiscation bill passed the House Judiciary Committee. And now this will advance, this is also high capacity magazines and the red flag laws. And these, the way that this is worded is scary as hell. It says the law, listen to what I'm saying here, it says the law grants law enforcement the authority to confiscate the firearms of otherwise lawful gun owners believed to present a violent risk to themselves or others. It doesn't say after a judge issues a protective order or after a hearing or after nothing. Now, they may have left that part out, so I'm not saying that that's not what, you know, that won't happen, but it's not in this story. This was originally sponsored by a Democrat out of California. Imagine my surprise. And called the Extreme Risk Protection Order of 2019. So, of course, the Democratic-controlled committee voted 22-16, has 197 sponsors, two of them are Republicans. This will be brought to the floor of the House of Representatives for a full vote. If it passes, the Senate would have to agree to vote on its own version of the bill, which is not, it hasn't said it will do, but then it has to be signed by the government, by the president to become law. I don't think we have as much chance as a one-legged man to ass kicking contest here of this getting shot down. I think our best chance getting it shot down might be the president not signing it, but I have little hope for that either. So it says this red flag law would incentivize states to pass their own red flag laws by creating a federal grant program to award funding to states that pass them. So they're going to get, they're buying this. We're going to get funding. We're going to get money for violating your rights and eliminating due process. I am floored at this whole thing. I'm astounded. I'm disgusted. Disappointed is way too mild of a word. Now, there are a few Republicans, one out of Ohio in particular, that's really, really fighting it, but I don't think there's enough of them. If he offers a convincing enough argument, maybe some of them will back off of this once they realize that they are voting right directly against their oath of office. And if any of the, hello Frog, I'm glad you made it in here tonight. And if any of these people believe for one second that oath means anything, if they believe for one second that the Constitution has any effect or any meaning or bearing or whatsoever, some of these people will back off. But I just don't see that happening. So, Frog, I'm glad you made it in here tonight after what you went through here yesterday. So, glad you made it. Hope everybody's okay at your house. So anyway, that's what's going on. And another thing here, we have NASCAR now. You know, NASCAR hasn't been overly gun-friendly for quite a while. They used to be. But now they've gone full-bore anti-gun. They've banned any ads, you know, advertising black guns, black rifles. And one of those was, what's these things that quit popping in here? KVAR. KVAR is a self-described company, the premier supplier of high-quality products for the outdoor shooting sports industries. And in their blog recently, their ad was rejected by NASCAR 4 months after it was submitted. Their blog post says, in March and April 2019, several firearms retailers and manufacturers were contacted by National Event Publications official media sales agent for the NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, NASCAR, PGA, NHRA, and USA Today Lifestyle. The pitch was to buy advertising in the official program for the last 26 races of the season. KVAR opted to advertise, as did at least 16 other manufacturers or retailers, including CZ USA, Beretta, Daniel Defense, and others. The deadline to have our artwork submitted for approval was April 19, 2019. Then on August 19, 2019, 4 months later, we were contacted by National Event Publications with the following message. We just heard from NASCAR on a number of gun-related ads, and unfortunately, due to a gradual shift in NASCAR's position on guns, these ads must be edited or changed, especially those that are depicted as assault-style rifles or sniper rifles. Slash sniper rifles. NASCAR is still open to some of the less controversial gun accessories, concealed carry, or classes. Dark Storm decided to challenge this by adding a large bar across the ad to obscure the MSR it contained. Not surprising, NASCAR rejected that one as well. Dark Storm said in their post regarding this, NASCAR decided to turn their back on their customer base, joining the likes of Yeti, Dick's, and Under Armour, and were approached by a NASCAR publication eager to earn our business, but after we were approached by a NASCAR publication eager to earn our business, but after submitting our ad, it was immediately rejected, saying that we cannot depict assault weapons, whatever those are. We resubmitted the ad after adding a large censored bar over the rifle with a tag reading, "This publication rejected our ad." This, too, was rejected by NASCAR. They said they did not like that we called them out. Well, what do you expect? We resubmitted a third time with a tagline reading, "Visit www.dark-storm.com to find out why." This was again rejected. They did not like the words, "find out why." We have learned NASCAR has made a gradual shift, but this doesn't seem very gradual to us. It seems as though NASCAR has turned their back on the overwhelming majority of their fan base in the most embarrassing way possible. So with that and these other companies doing all this and these red flag laws and everything, we are under attack like we have never been in history. Now, I've said that several times over the years, but it keeps getting worse, and we keep letting it. So, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, I said we were being attacked worst ever. Well, we were at that time, and now it's even worse. And you know what? We're going to let them, and we're going to like it, because we can't get enough people to boycott NASCAR. We can't get enough people to boycott Starbucks, Walmart, Kroger's, Walgreens, CVS, Publix has joined them now, Dick's. Now, Dick's, we made a pretty good showing on. They were the first one, but I think we've gotten soft. And we're not making any impression on these people. I know it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be inconvenient in many cases. The people we have now. Well, let me finish what I was going to say. We have got to make a showing here. We've got to stand up. We've got to do what Lavoie would have done. The, as I said, what was it? A week ago, week and a half ago, something like that. the time is very rapidly approaching, very rapidly, like right now. It's just all over us right now. That we are no longer going to have the option to carry openly. We may not have the option to carry at all. They're taking that away. Let me rephrase that. We're giving that away. They cannot take away rights. We have to give them up. And that's what we're doing, and we're comfortable with it. Nobody's willing to risk their job. Nobody's willing to risk a relationship, an account at a certain store. The coffee's good there. The food's good there. That's the only place I can find it. Clothes fit me. Blah, 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 you big sissy. Get off your ass and do it. This has to be done. And it has to be done with monotonous regularity. It has to be done relentlessly until these people realize who they're dealing with. Right now, they're dealing with a bunch of people that just gripe on Facebook and put it on their blog and everything, but we're not willing to do anything. Most of these people are not willing to protest and rally in front of politicians' offices and city halls, in front of certain stores, Walmart, for instance. I've seen one instance where there was a very small group of people rallied with signs, demonstrated in front of a Walmart. One. But we'll sure get on Facebook and gripe about it, won't we? Rah, 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 hooray for our side. Yes, sir, I'm a Facebook complaining cotton picker. That's me, I can do it. I can post memes and complain with the best of them. And go to bed at night knowing I've done all I could do. I guess I showed them exactly what I thought about it when I got on Facebook. Told them. So, that's on top of that, one more thing. San Francisco, as a city, has unanimously voted to label the NRA a terrorist organization. NRA has turned around and sued the city of San Francisco. I don't know how that's going to go. But if you're a member of the NRA right now, you can stand proud and consider yourself a domestic terrorist in the eyes of San Franciscans. Or San Francisco, anyway. So there you have it. That's it in a nutshell. That's what I wanted to gripe about tonight. I had to get some of this out and see if it matters to anybody. So far, it hasn't seemed to matter a whole lot other than complaining a little bit. You've got to hold these politicians' feet to the fire. You've got to write letters. That's something else I want to say real quick before I go. You need to write letters. I just wrote a letter to the president of my church over this. You need to write letters to Walmart. I don't mean emails, folks. I mean get off your ass from in front of that computer, go to the kitchen table, and get a piece of paper and a pencil. Remember what pencil and pens are? How you hold them and stuff? We used to use those back in the old days when we wanted to communicate with people. We'd go and make a bunch of little squiggly marks and certain characters and things on paper. And we would send that piece of paper to people, and they'd unfold it and look at those little squiggly marks and understand what we were trying to convey to them. It was awesome. It worked well. It still works. Emails and phone calls are good. But, the lines are tied up a lot, and one busy signal is not any better than another one. But it doesn't cost anything to call for most of us with free long distance on our cell phones. But
What really makes a difference, and I was told this by more than one senator, a state senator, and United States senator, said, if you want to make a difference, write letters. Even if they don't open it. You know, if they get 5 million letters and they open 100 of them and find out they all say the same thing, they still know they got 5 million letters. They still know that their office is completely full of envelopes and they've got to get rid of them. It matters. I don't care what everybody says, sits around and gripes and say, well, it don't make any difference. They don't read them anyway. Well, they damn sure don't if you don't send them one. Every senator, every representative, at least the bad ones, even the good ones, the ones on our side, send them a letter and let them know that we appreciate what they're doing, that it's not going unrecognized. And the bad ones, I'm going to tell you beyond, in no uncertain terms, be very, very stern, be professional, be polite, but make them understand that there are certain things that we will not put up with. And do it nicely. Like they said in Roadhouse, be nice. Don't make things worse by being an ass. Be nice. Even if they're all form letters and say the same thing and addressed to different people, that's okay. Get your point across. Be concise. Be nice about it. Get it in the mail. As soon as you get it in the mail, pick up the phone, dial that number to your local representative and senators, and tell them what you think. You will rarely, if ever, talk to a warm body, but usually you don't. And tell them nicely what they must do if they want to continue to be our representative. So with that, I'm going to get out of here, and I'll be back in just a couple minutes. You'll experience a little bit of dead air as I'm changing over here. I've got a couple things to do because of this other show, and I'll be right back with Liberty Lounge. And I appreciate you joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation.